It's only last weekend that we celebrated Epiphany, but it now seems ages ago. But it's reminded me of something that happened, actually on the 5th of January. My daughter stormed into our house. Those who know my daughter will know that she can storm. "Why on earth is your Christmas tree still up? It should have been down by now. My friends at work takes hers down on Christmas Day, and then she says it's all over now." You don't argue with my daughter. So all I did, I just couldn't be bothered to argue. I just said, "Okay, well, actually it's not all over, but yeah, I'll take the decorations down tomorrow." But more seriously, Emma's remarks led me to reflect on the secular view of Christmas. It has a rather inappropriate build-up to the season, doesn't it? All the rushing around, shopping and doing so many things. And then there's Christmas Day itself. After a surfeit of spending, eating and drinking, the whole thing is over. And on Boxing Day, off people go to queue for bargains in the sales. It's all over. Or is it? Well, of course it's not. Christmas is the beginning, the start of something truly amazing. And I think this story and today's reading from Luke chapter 2, and do have your Bibles open at page 1028 if you want to look up some of the references. It helps us to reflect very differently from my daughter and her friend on the nature of Christmas and those events that we celebrate on the 25th of December, but which are with us always. Now, if you just go a few verses earlier than our reading to, I think it's verse 22, it's just the sort of run-up to the little bit of the story we read. But the events which are reported probably happened about 40 days after Jesus' birth. And it was the Jewish custom for certain rituals to take place at this point after a birth. The woman who had given birth had to present herself at the temple for purification. People who are as old as I am will remember that in this country and in the Church of England, we used to have something called the cleansing of women, the purification after childbirth, the churching of women, that was it. I don't think that happens now, but there was something you had to go and be cleansed by a priest before you came back into the church. So this was the ritual we inherited from Jewish custom. You had to go to the temple to be purified, and Mary had to offer a sacrifice. And in her case, because she wasn't very rich, it was a sacrifice of two pigeons or two doves. It was quite a cheap sacrifice, not a sort of whole ox or anything. And then Jesus, as her firstborn son, had to be dedicated to God. Now, when the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, come into the temple precincts, they meet two characters that we don't hear about anywhere else in the Bible, Anna and Simeon. We gather from the reading that these people are both elderly, but also that they're devout and God-fearing. And each of them, in turn, sees something of earth-shattering significance in the small child. To Simeon, he is the long-awaited saviour of the world, promised by God for the benefit. And Simeon knows not just of the Jewish people, but also for the rest of humanity, for the Gentile people. So a big vision of the future. To Anna, he was as significant as the one who would restore Jerusalem to its former glory, free from foreign oppression. It just reminded me in the words of that first song we sang this morning. I think it says, "We're standing on the edge of something new." And that's indeed what they were doing, standing on the edge of something new. And I find it quite amazing that these two old people could be so perceptive and so sure about the destiny of a child who was not even 2 months old. Not often we can look at a baby and say, well, you're going to be, should we say, the president of the USA, but perhaps we won't. But you might be the Archbishop of Canterbury and you might be a teacher. It takes a lot of insight, and I think these people were really inspired by God. And I want to look at some of the things which I think are significant about Anna and Simeon, and then see what we can learn about them today. Now, one thing we know for sure is they were both very in touch with God. Anna spent her long years of widowhood, and she'd been a widow a very long time, in the temple, and we're told she was in verse 37, she was fasting, worshipping, and praying. And I think it's this close relationship with God that makes her so alert and perceptive of where he's at work. And you think about it, she'd been hanging around that temple for an awful long time. She must have seen a huge number of mothers come with their babies to be dedicated and to be purified. How did she know there was something special about this child? Simeon, we're told, was very full of the Holy Spirit, and he was quite confident in God that he would not die before he had seen the one who had to be Saviour of the world, the Lord's Christ. Simeon was a man of great faith, and he again immediately spots that there's something special about this baby. And as I said before, if you look at verse 32, he knows that he's going to be a mighty person, a saviour, but not just of the Jewish people, but also of the Gentiles. So these two, closely in touch with God, had a perception and an alertness. The other thing about them is I think they both took the long view. They were confident that God was at work, but in his time. They knew that they wouldn't see the end of the story that was starting then in their own lifetimes. And Simeon said, I've just seen this beginning. I'm quite content to die. And I don't think Anna really expected to see what was going to happen. She was very old. She saw a new baby. She saw possibilities for the future. But she didn't expect to see how that would work out. So there were people of patience and faith for the longer term. I remember years ago there used to be an advert called Take the Waiting Out of Wanting. Does anyone remember that? I think it's an advert for a credit card, but you can get the message. If you want something, get it instantly. And we're so attuned to instant satisfaction, aren't we? If you want a present, you can order it on Amazon. It'll be there the next day. If you want a book, download it onto your Kindle. We don't have to wait for things. If you want to get in touch with somebody in America, just press a button on your iPhone. I think there's a lot to be said for waiting for special things, and I can remember things I've had to wait for over a long time have perhaps been a little bit more meaningful to me than things I can get instantly. But I think as Christians, we have to be patient. We have to wait on God to work in his time. Anna and Simeon spotted something good, and they didn't keep it to themselves. They wanted to share it, didn't they? So Anna goes rushing off telling everybody, this is the one who's going to save Jerusalem. Look, look, look at this baby. She was gossiping the gospel. She wanted everyone to know. Simeon burst into song, an amazing song. It's the one we now call the Nunc Dimittis, and it's sung and said in Christian churches throughout the world. 2,000 years later, that man's prophetic words are still acknowledged throughout Christendom. And one thing that Simeon says, but not Anna, he's very realistic, isn't he? He doesn't say it's all going to be wonderful plain sailing from here. He acknowledges there'll be difficulties. This new child would grow to be the falling as well as the rising of many. In verse 35, we learn that there would be people who would oppose him, and my, we do see how they did and how they still do. And then, and I think this is very hard, I really find this verse makes me very sad, he says to Mary, a sword will pierce your heart, your soul. What an awful thing for a new mother to hear, but it was correct. One final thing about Anna and Simeon is that we don't hear about them anywhere else, but we still remember them 2,000 years on. But they were very ordinary, probably very insignificant people in their society, and they were pretty old and decrepit. But they had something special, and they had a huge historical significance. They were the witnesses in their contemporary society to what and who Christ was. And they're amongst those very few people who at the beginning of Luke's gospel spot immediately there's something special about this baby. And it's partly because of their witness to the truth they saw that we know about Jesus. Their words and actions were inspired by what they saw. For us, it's a matter of faith, isn't it? But they are, I think, important links in that great chain of witness which has gone on and on. And I think from hearing about Anna and Simeon and looking at them in a bit more detail, there are things that are relevant to us. It won't have escaped anyone's notice that this is our 150th anniversary year. And I just want to reflect a little bit on what's happened here. I think it took people of prayer who had faith and were prepared to be led by the Holy Spirit to have the vision to found a parish and a church here. When that church was founded, this area was green field, wasn't it? It was all fields and a few big houses with huge gardens, but really no population around. So the people who built this church had a vision. They were building for the future. They couldn't all expect to see how that future would work out. They knew that God would do his own thing in his own time, but they were prepared to be links in a chain. As I understand it, and I don't know much about the church history, but my husband there does, and there'll be a lot of exhibitions and talking about this later in the year, the church started off as what was called a tin tabernacle, which was built just over the road where the old vicarage is now. But a few years later, these people of prayer and vision forged ahead, and they started to build the big church, the Victorian church, which is on the island opposite. And I gather that that took about 20 years in total to complete. Again, it wasn't a quick fix. But they were confident that they were working God's purpose out. Now, we noted that Simeon knew that the way ahead for Jesus was not going to be plain sailing. And I think we can safely say that's been the history of this church. I won't go into all the things that have... I can see Pauline nodding at me. She's been worshipping here quite a long time. But I think the most sort of cataclysmic thing that happened was when the foundations of the old church crumbled and it had to be closed for worship. This congregation was going to be merged with another church. But another generation from those who had founded it spotted an opportunity. They were alert to God working, and they looked at this old Victorian church hall and they thought, we can make a church out of that. So they did, and added bits on. And here, 150 years later, we're worshipping in this building. And I think at the moment we can say we're in quite a good place. The church congregation is growing, and we're working at the heart of a thriving community. We must give thanks for those who had that vision 150 years ago to establish the parish and Church of St. Stephen's, which means so much to all of us. And I hope that in our 150th year, we'll have a great time celebrating and giving thanks. But at the end of 2017, where shall we be? Shall we say, like my daughter and her friend, well, it's all over now? I pray we won't. Rather, we must be looking ahead and asking ourselves how we can be further links in the chain to continue to build and develop and ensure that there's a flourishing Christian community in this place in another 150 years. We must be alert to God's will, and we must be people of vision and patience and prayer. And part of that, I think, is also reflected in something about Simeon. Particularly, he was very sure that the good news of Jesus was not just for a few select people in Jerusalem, in the temple courts. It was for everybody. And that's something I think we have to remember, isn't it? That we have a wonderful time worshipping here together. We have a close community, but the message we have is for everybody. And both Simeon and Anna knew that they must share the good news. It wasn't just to be kept to themselves. And I was very heartened when I looked at one of the flyers for our 150th celebration, because it actually reflects what I'm saying here. And I didn't read it till after I'd prepared this, I promise you. It says, we want to celebrate this anniversary with everyone in our church. But it also then says, we want to spread the word and the love of Jesus throughout our neighbourhood in new ways. And we want to tell more people in our community about St. Stephen's and welcome them here. And I think we've got to be quite patient, haven't we? We can continue to put new things in place to have visions. We know there'll be setbacks. It won't all happen immediately. But with faith in God, we just keep on persevering. The other thing we can take heart from is that Simeon and Anna were very ordinary people. And I'm sure there's some extraordinary folk here, but most of us will say we're quite ordinary people. What have we got to give? Well, we've all got something. Whoever we are, whatever our age, abilities, or maybe we think we don't have any abilities, although I'm sure we all do, if we keep close to God in worship and prayer and faith, I believe that we too can all be links in the chain of witness that goes on from generation to generation.